You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and we've reached a milestone today because this is episode 50. So we've been broadcasting for almost a year, and we will be continuing for many more because I'm loving this, the audience is loving it, you're loving it because you're listening in. And we've got some lovely guests coming on the show. So today we've got Jeremy. Now, this is a little bit special. You're going to love this one. But when Jeremy emailed me and asked to come on the show, and it's as simple as that, that's all you do, just get in contact with me and ask, and we take it from there. But when Jeremy emailed me, he said, look, I've just had a dream a couple of nights before my 30th birthday. And it was quite a big dream, and I feel it's important. I'd love to come on the show and find out what it means. And you'll often find this in life, that particularly before a birthday, and particularly before a big birthday, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, whatever, you quite often have a rather big dream. Now, during the talk with Jeremy, I actually share why this is. Have a listen, and of course every dream is important. It's just that some dreams before the big birthdays have just a little bit more orientation in them, you know, a little bit more help as to, okay, where are we going for the next 10 years then? So anyway, enjoy. Here's Jeremy. Hello, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Jane Theresa?
Oh, wonderful. Yes, I'm in a bit of a different time zone from you, so I haven't been up that long, but I have had a nice long black coffee, which does make quite a difference to the day. And I know you're on the tail end of your day yet, so coffee's probably a bad word to mention at this time of night.
Well, I do have a nice big cup of tea, so that's where I am.
Oh, perfect. Okay. And as well as a nice big cup of tea, you have a nice dream for us. So what have you got?
I do. Oh, I hope so. I actually don't know much about dream interpretation, but I've started listening to her podcast recently and writing down my dreams. And this dream that I'll share with you is from about a month ago on the night of my 30th birthday.
Fantastic.
And I feel a little weird about sharing it because to me it seems very sort of vain, but the dream itself, but I'm sort of clueless about it, so I'm looking forward to seeing what you say.
Okay, so am I. I'm looking forward to hearing the dream. Vain Jeremy.
All right, so in the dream, I'm sitting in the passenger seat of a car while a man is driving. It's a large black sedan, like a 1980s Cadillac or something like that. I can't see the man very well, but I get the sense that we're dating or in some sort of relationship. He's driving very fast through a city, and we're trying to outrun the police. He pulls into a park and drives into the center of it, where there are a lot of hills, and he stops the car where it's protected, and nobody can see it because the hills surround us on all sides. I get the sense that a few years have passed, and now I'm in my real current bedroom, and there's a person standing next to my bed. This person looks like one of my female friends, but also looks sort of like me, and so I'm not sure exactly how to describe it other than it seemed both male and female. I got the sense that this person is me, and I'm talking to some aspect of myself. I asked the person what happened to the car and to the man who drove it. And they responded, we built a house there in the park where the car was, but when we put roads and sidewalks in, they kept breaking like the earth was pushing them up. So the relationship didn't work out. I didn't ask any more about that, but then this person asked me, have you had the beauty shot? And I knew that this was some sort of inoculation or vaccine type of shot you get when you're a kid. But I knew I hadn't had it. For some reason, I lie and answer, yes, I've had the beauty shot. And then I notice that there's a man also in my room with us, and he's about my age. And he says that the beauty shot is really painful because there's one really long needle and one short needle, and they have to get them both in. And as a result, it hurts a lot. Then I remember I'm supposed to get my picture taken. I look at the wall in my bedroom, and I see three hanging photo frames. They're the kind where each frame holds two pictures, and the frame opens and closes like a book. So there's a space for a photo on the left and a space for a photo on the right. There's a total of 6 spaces for photos, so 2 in each of the 3 frames. All 3 frames have a picture of me on the left side, and there's no photo in the right side of any of the frames. They're all blank. The 3 photos of me all look a little different, and they're all sort of goofy photos of me, but nonetheless, I can tell that they're portraits of me. And then I wake up.
Wow, wonderful symbolism and changes of scene and time as well. And great recall, Jeremy. I'm going to go in and ask lots of questions. And the first,
okay.
You know the 3 goofy photos of you in the 3 photo frames.
Mm-hmm.
What age do you think you were in those pictures? Were you the same age in all 3 photos, or?
They seemed a bit like they were maybe high school, like senior photo type pictures. I couldn't tell what age I was, but they looked a lot like you would get a senior photo taken.
Right, okay. So all taken about the same time and about a senior photo kind of shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know you said it's your 30th birthday, and we've got the 1980s Cadillac car, so my quick calculation, you must have been born in 1980, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so we might have a connection there. You know, because often a number in a dream, not always, but often refers to an actual date or a certain time, you know, time ago. So the 1980s Cadillac could possibly, as we go into the dream, represent something about you. You know, you're the 1980s child. The Cadillac.
Mm-hmm.
And, and so our task is to find out, you know, why you weren't in the driver's seat of the Cadillac, why you maybe weren't in the driver's seat of your life for some time, and who was, and a lot else beside. Now, I love the fact that at the beginning of the dream, in the Cadillac, although you're not driving, you're being chased by the police or getting away from the police, I think you said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And later on, when you're questioning, well, what happened to the park? What happened to the man or the potential relationship there in the park in the past? And the answer from the girl aspect of yourself was, oh, well, you know, every time they tried to build roads, the roads broke because the earth pushed up underneath. You know, you've got that feeling. But if you think about trying to build roads in a beautiful park and a natural environment, and you've got nature taking over and saying, I'm not going to have these straight roads. I'm not going to have, don't impose these structures on me. I'm going to break through this. Maybe there's something there in the connection to the police too, like at the beginning of the dream, getting away from the police. The police, of course, perform a fantastic job. But what they do is, I guess, to some extent with laws and things, is impose structures on them.
Right, yeah.
So there's kind of like a link there in the dream of something like, it's we're not going down any track of saying that you want to break the law or anything like that. It's just that I have a feeling that I want to escape rules, structures, regimes that may have been imposed for one's good. I'm not really interested in that, particularly in the 1980s, like in my early life. And maybe we're going here up to around about the age that you were in the 3 photos, you know, like seniors. Mm-hmm. In those early years, I wasn't really interested in, I was more interested in freedom and my natural self, but by the same token, I kept trying to lay down the roads and lay down the rules, but it kind of, life doesn't really work like that. That's what your dream kind of shows. The natural self kept breaking through.
Uh-huh.
So there's some aspect there that in your earlier life, the 1980s child Cadillac Jeremy, got himself to a place where he wanted to follow his own thing. You wanted to follow your own thing. You wanted to sort of break out to some extent of laws and structures around you. And to some extent, you achieved that. That's getting to the park in the dream.
Mm-hmm.
But then, and everything looked good and everything looked rosy, and you maybe had a good relationship with the partner there. But as time went by, you found it increasingly difficult to live within those constraints and restraints and nature breaks through whatever, you know, feeling of your natural self, your authentic self, your true self, not somebody that's trying to toe the line according to what other people think, you know, you should do, say, be, etc. So that's a start for the dream, and I'm going to go there and, you know, go right to the end of the dream, because of course there's so much more. But as a beginning, how are you responding so far?
It seems really good.
Okay. So you've got an interesting dream, Jeremy, because it's like it's done in time phases. There's a start of the dream, you know, which seems to be in the present, but then of course you wake up in the dream, you dream that you wake up, and you're then reviewing with the help of this male female figure by the side of your bed. You're reviewing, oh well, what happened back then? So we kind of go, you know, into a different time zone. And when you wake up in a dream, that's often literally symbolic of, it's like an awakening. It's like, oh, I'm waking up to something here. I'm beginning to see something. Now, what is it? Let's have a look at that more clearly.
Right, because I got the sense that when I was waking up in the dream, that even though it happened sort of sequentially in my dream, that time had passed and I was immediately ready to look back on what happened and find out what happened, which is a little strange.
That you weren't immediately ready, did you say, or you were?
I was immediately ready to say, okay, that happened a long time ago, even though in my dream it was just a few moments ago.
Yeah. And isn't that the way that life is? You know, often when you have an awakening, a sort of aha moment, it's often like, ah, that explains so much, you know, which we're going to do. And it's kind of like this major review, but you only actually get it in that moment that you look back and see your past differently. In the moment you look back and go, oh, okay, I get it. Your whole past history changes because you look at it differently.
Right.
So it's kind of like what once seemed to be, you know, 10, 15 years ago is suddenly like the dream, almost only like yesterday, because I'm seeing it differently now. It's kind of new. It's old and it's new. Now, a dream always reflects what's been going on for you consciously and unconsciously for the last day or two. So the fact that you had this dream on the eve of your 30th birthday showed that in that day or two before your dream, you just began to awaken to something, just began to see something about, you know, your life so far that was probably didn't make sense to you awake, but in your dreaming mind was just beginning to go, hang on a minute, Jeremy, let's just review maybe the last 30 years. And you're just, that dream just caught the moment of becoming aware of this.
Right.
So that's why it kind of took you back. And that's why we often have really huge dreams on the eves of our birthdays, because, and particularly our big birthdays, because obviously we do spend some days contemplating, you know, reaching 30, 40, 50, whatever, and reviewing our life so far. And so this can, so it's really worth them for everyone listening in, you know, always capture the dreams of the day or two before a big birthday, because they can be really, really good and meaningful. And we're going to go into yours so much more, Jeremy. So to some extent we've got, okay, on the eve of your 30th birthday, you're beginning to wake up to something about your past, beginning to wake up to the fact that up until now, you've perhaps had a struggle with structures and imposed structures, and you've lived a life of trying to escape from those. But even when you try to escape from them, you found yourself trying to create new structures. That's the roads in the park. But hey, even those don't really work. So you're really on the eve of your 30th birthday looking for, is it new structures or is it like, well, you know, let's get all those structures go and let's just be my natural, authentic self. And that's good enough. You know, I am the structure. This is me. So that's kind of the theme of it. So let's just go back a little bit first before we get to the beauty things, which I love. And let's get back into the car. Now, so if I say Cadillac to you, what's the personality of a Cadillac car?
Well, it's funny because I drive a little tiny, you know, hybrid car. And so a Cadillac to me is that big gas-guzzling American sort of inefficient car, but it's also something that is, I think, sort of like a really attractive car. Like back, if you think back in the 80s when we didn't worry about sort of emissions and stuff like that, that it seems sort of like a sort of sexy car in retrospect.
In retrospect, yeah, okay. Well, that's great. So to some extent, a car can be can represent how we go about our lives. It can represent our drive, literally our motivation. So there's a sense in looking back that in your earlier years, you had that, you know, in the 80s, as you say, you weren't as concerned because it wasn't really such a big issue with how lightly we tread in our lives with environmental issues. We just, and maybe there's some kind of, as you said, an American kind of guzzler dream there going as well. And to some extent, and the beauty of it and the sexiness of it. So there's some sort of element that you kind of pursued that feeling within yourself, like this is me and this is how I want to be seen, you know, the material side of life, the beauty, the sexiness, and as American as anybody else, same kind of dream, right. You know. But in the dream, you you're the passenger, you're not the driver.
Right.
And how did you feel in the dream about being the passenger?
I think the feeling in the dream is that I was a bit worried about the turns that were going really fast and where are we going. And it was sort of nighttime in the dream, and we were racing around a park, and I wasn't really sure what the goal was or how we were going to actually get away from the police being in a park.
Okay. So if you translate all that and you say, okay, during those years in your past, you had the feeling that you weren't really in the driver's seat of your own car. You had the feeling that the part of yourself that was in the main driving seat, or, you know, in charge of your drive, was kind of rushing about all over the place, not really sure where the goals were, racing around without knowing what it was that you were really trying to achieve. Mm-hmm. And also saying that even while you were doing that, you felt worried about it. You did feel concerned about it. It's like, I'm going along with this. I feel like I'm being driven to race around, even though I don't know what the goal is, to get the kind of American guzzler, big sexy material image. And this is worrying me, and I don't really know why I'm doing this.
Yeah, and that's exactly how my sort of educational process, I think, went when I was you know, going through high school and going to college, it all felt really fast, and I was never sure what it was going to end up being. And so lately I've been thinking about a career change, and the sort of goals and majors and classes that I took in college, when I look back on it, I don't really understand why I took those, because they weren't really what I wanted now.
That makes a lot of sense. So, you know, the fact that you saw those three photos of yourself in those photo frames on the wall as being about graduating from seniors, and you saw them as goofy, would that kind of fit those majors that you took? You look back now and say, oh, I don't really know why I took those. Is it like they're kind of goofy, or I was goofy? Is there kind of a connection between how you look in the pictures and how you're looking back on that? Why did I do that time now?
I think so. That could be true, because I was a computer science major and a psychology major, and also really social. And so the three pictures, now that you ask that question, seem to be representing sort of those three different, what I might envision what a computer science major would look like at that age,
and
glasses and stuff.
And a social. Yeah. Okay, so that's a really strong thing, and we can move that forward as we look into the last third of the dream to make sure that you find an image that relates to, or first that you find the goal that feels authentic to you and natural without having to build structures on it that you don't want to see, to put yourself in the driving seat of your life and build a kind of new image of yourself that's not goofy, but that actually represents your authenticity, you know, the natural park kind of situation. So, you know, that's some clues for further down the track. The when you described to me and to everyone else listening the car that you drive now, and you said it's a hybrid, and one part of my interpreter's brain went, oh, well, maybe that's like the androgynous figure by the side of your bed. The hybrid, the half male, half female aspect of yourself, which is a beautifully balanced situation. You know, there's the male side of our, whoever we are, our male side of our brain is like our left brain. So it's how we relate to the world out there. It's our, all our left brain kind of qualities like competitiveness, structure, function, authority, logic. It's taking things down to the elements, you know, how things work rather than the holistic picture. And the female side of ourselves and dreams is often represented by women, women that we don't know, is for all of us our right brains. That's more our inner world, our holistic picture, our creativity, our emotional selves, our spiritual selves, intuitional selves. And in all of us, in an ideal world, we've got a lovely, beautiful balance between our male side and our female side, our yin and our yang, our right brain and our left brain. So the moment that you woke up and you saw that figure standing there, and you saw her as a her, but then as the dream progressed, as you progressed to talk about your dream, you said, well, she's sort of half male, half female, and I know she's me. It's like, yes, this is great. We have a beautiful balance aspect of Jeremy standing here. You know, lovely balance of yin and yang. And the fact that she's standing there as you have the awakening in the dream is like, yeah, yeah, this is really good. In the dream, you're having an awakening to a more balanced perspective.
Okay.
Which is really fantastic. And then, so if you then look at those three picture frames on the wall, and as you're looking at them, you describe the goofy Jeremy as being on the left-hand side of each one. So, okay, if we're still talking left and right brain here, then there's a space waiting to be filled on the right-hand side.
Yeah, they were all blank on the right.
So if the right-hand side was your right brain, then they would be more your inner world, your creativity, your emotional self, your spirituality, your intuition, your yin, as opposed to your yang. The park, the natural stuff, you know, if you go back to the image of the park and the natural world is more like the right brain, the female side. And the structures, the roads, is more like the left brain, the male side. So there is space in those three photo frames there for, there is potential for further development and for putting your face on, well, what's the authentic right brain side of Jeremy here?
Right.
So it's like your life up to 30, according to your dream, and this is only your perspective through your dream, is, look, I really developed my left brain, okay? You know, even while I've been trying to run away from all this structure and find a different way, it's followed me around. I've done some analytical majors. I've done, you know, computer stuff, psychology, and whatever. And to some extent, even just being academic and intellectual exercises, their left brain. And so there's room now to develop more of the right brain stuff to balance the picture.
Okay, great.
And this is where the beauty thing comes in. Because, you know, beauty, as you described it, and I was just listening and tuning in using my right brain intuitive start. So I was thinking, like this is like the natural beauty, the authenticity, the natural self.
Right, yeah.
Have you had your beauty shot? It's almost like, well, you know, they go on to describe in the dream. Yeah, look, beauty, there's pain involved to get this beauty. And it's almost like, you know, people say, you can't see the joy if you don't know the sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see. Yeah.
And I thought it was sort of funny, too, that I said that I had this.
Yeah.
But I actually knew that I hadn't. That I hadn't had that shot.
So do you think you said that because, well, you tell me, why, in the dream, why did you lie?
I'm not sure. I think I wanted to please this person that I was talking to or feel, I got the sense that they had this beauty shot and that I wanted to connect with them and, you know, be sort of on the same level.
Right. Okay. So if you had said to them, oh, no, I haven't had it. What would have been the sort of negative outcome of that in the dream, do you think?
I don't think there would have been actually any negative outcome. Because after I say that, I notice that there's someone else in the room who sort of describes what the beauty shot actually is, or at least sort of how it works. So I'm not sure if there was any repercussions that would have happened if I had just said, no, I hadn't.
Okay, so it's kind of like they already knew that you hadn't had it.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
All right, so a last little moment of denial of, I don't really want to go through all that pain, so let's just pretend that I'm already there. Yeah. And as you say, you know, the reason you wanted to have had the beauty shot in the dream was because you wanted to connect with this potential wonderful person in the room who is, you know, everyone in a dream is an aspect of yourself. So it's like, yeah, I'm ready to be that person. I'm ready to have all that energy and stuff myself. I don't want to go through the pain to get it. I just want to have it. So yeah, I've had it. I want to connect with that. And then another part of yourself comes up and says, well, you know, we have to be truthful here. You can't always know the joy without the sorrow. You can't always develop the full authenticity without knowing what is false.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's where it is. It's like, you know, on the eve of your 30th birthday, you may be sort of saying, oh, you know, why did I go and do all that IT, all the goofy stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, have I wasted my time? I could have just gone and done something that suited me more. But, you know, if you think of my story, just, you know, which probably is similar, like here I am doing dream stuff, which is quite a lot analytical and quite a lot, you know, intuitional. And the last thing you would expect me to have done is a degree in science and to have followed it through and started a PhD, you know. And, mm-hmm. and I went through, I guess, a similar phase. I thought, oh, you know, I thoroughly enjoyed that time, but did I waste it? Could I have come through quicker another way? And, of course, the answer is no, because I've got a unique perspective based on what I went through. And so the same for you, you know, although you may not know it now, Jeremy, you know, as you decide on this new goal, which is more authentically based and more right-brained and more suited to who you are and where you want to be, there will come a time later where you'll look back and go, thank goodness I did all that goofy stuff, because without that, I wouldn't have been able to ... I don't know, but it's there.
Right.
You've got to complete the picture. Those three picture frames on the wall wouldn't be any good with just a beautiful picture of you on the right-hand side and nothing on the left. You've got to have both.
Right, yeah. And I hadn't really considered this, but that does definitely mirror the idea that I've been having lately of looking into sort of a new career and going back to school. And this time, you know, looking at what really interests me now.
Mm. And do you know what really interests you now, or are you still working out what that is?
I'm still working out exactly what that is, but it's actually a combination of computer science and psychology, and more so in terms of building, you know, therapeutic software. So in school, I was always very torn about, I loved working with people and talking to people and problem solving, but then I also really liked the sort of technical aspect of computers and solving those sort of logic games that software is. And I ended up going into a really, I guess, left brain field where it was very computer science focused. Yeah, what I'm looking for now are programs that sort of use that logical computer science brain, but actually focus it into a personal sort of psychology therapeutic setting.
Absolutely perfect, because you know, right, included in the right brain qualities is healing in a sense, you know, which works with therapy, because to be a healer on whatever level, and that's what you're suggesting there, is to stand back and take a holistic view, which is a very right-hand thing to do. And, of course, to achieve what you're doing is a totally creative thing. No one else has done that. You know, you're out there pioneering and intensely relying on your creative faculties, which is very largely your right brain, to achieve that. And also you're then working on a vision. You know, you have to set up a vision of something, and you may know some parameters of it now and other parameters you may only discover as you go along, but you've got to kind of have faith in that vision, you know, that final model that you see, even though you don't know what the elements are going to be. And all of those are very right brain, authentic self dependent. You know, you can't, as you well know, you can't build other people's structures and roads and authorities and laws around something that has yet to be defined, because you're still creating it because it's brand new.
Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to listen to this podcast, because the way I just described that idea to you was way better than I've ever described it to anyone else before.
It's really interesting. It's fascinating that how many times, you know, either on podcasts or in private consultations with people, you know, either phone or face-to-face, that people say that kind of thing, like, I've just said something that is completely new. I've never heard it that way, or that is the best I've ever described it. And it's often a function of, it's not just the question that was asked. It is because we're talking about a dream that is fresh in your mind. And so even though I may be asking the question, I'm in my question, I'm using symbols that come directly from your unconscious mind that were expressed in your dream. And so they're so close to where, you know, your deeper and more authentic self. They're so close to your unconscious mind. So that if I'd asked, if we weren't talking about your dream at all, and I just asked you directly, you know, to you, I'd be talking to, yes, yeah, Jeremy's conscious mind says this, this, this. But because you're dealing in the stuff of your dreams, your unconscious mind is joining in and coming up with beautiful, you know, putting things together, in ways that are new for you. Which is fantastic.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was no vanity in there at all, other than, and this is a vanity that we should all have, if that's the word, other than wanting to be the most beautiful we can be in every way in our lives, you know, beauty on the inside and the outside, you know, why settle for not being the full blossoming self that we can be?
Right. I thought the image of a shot that somehow made you beautiful was really funny. And the idea that there's one really long needle and one really short needle and that it hurts a lot just seems like kind of the most awful kind of shot to get.
I'm just wondering about the long and the short. I mean, dreams do play puns. And there's, you know, what I'm picking up is that there's a long shot, you know, and there's a short shot. Maybe the long shot is like, you know, partly literal, partly I've got to go back and do this other degree, and partly like, oh, it's a long shot, you know, am I going to really be able to deliver the goods, or is it a long shot, you know? And there's the pain to some extent of when you step out and put your faith in something, it can be a bit painful along the way, but then there's a short shot there too. So maybe there's also a quicker way around. You'd never know the length of the journey until you begin it. And then it's like one step at a time. But I do get the feeling with those two shots, it's like whatever you do, you can't avoid the pain. You know, you can't just step out and see the joy in life and have the ability to heal other people, which is what you're looking at there, without having touched upon some of the issues that the people that you're healing are going through, so that you can understand pain in general, you know, what limits people, what blocks people, where they're coming from. You have to have at least some experience of that to be able to help a person through.
Right.
So what I'd like to do at this point, because we haven't covered every part of your dream, but we've covered most of it, is first of all to ask you if there's some other part of your dream that you'd like to ask me about, and then to progress from there to working out a dream alchemy practice so that we can make it not quite such a long shot.
No, I feel like I've gotten a lot out of this already. So, yeah, I think I'm ready for the next step.
Okay, are you ready for the shot, Jeremy?
It's going to hurt, but I'm ready.
And it's interesting, you know, with alchemy, it can hurt and it may not. This is the process, you know, as you know, with alchemy, what you're doing is you're going to be doing a visualization or an affirmation or some kind of exercise that works with the symbols from your dream in order to move you to the next stage. Now, talking to everybody listening now, in order to move to the next stage of our lives, you could say, well, why am I not there now? It's usually because, well, I'm not there because I've got to step out of comfort zone. I don't actually really want to go do that. You know, I'm quite happy where I am. That's otherwise, hey, I'd already be there. And so that's part of the pain, that you've got to go through the pain of stepping out of the comfort zone and doing things slightly differently, so that when you go through the alchemy practice, sometimes it's really smooth and you just automatically find yourself living this new life or this new attitude or this new approach or things coming too easily. And sometimes you get that definitely, and as well, you have to experience just a little bit of pain along the way because it's the pain of letting go of the old way. So, you know, so there may be a little bit of pain, but it's worth it. So I think Would you say that you're a person that could work more with, say, a visualization, or more with an affirmation, or more with artwork? What do you find it easy to visualize?
Yeah, I think I can visualize pretty easily.
Okay, that's great. So what I'm thinking is, I'd like to look at putting a photo on the right hand side of at least one of those photo frames. Of the not so goofy Jeremy, and he's already had his beauty shot, and I'm just working out how to do this, how to bring the best elements in. And of course, we also still would probably be a good idea to get you in the driver's seat of your own car. So if you could pick a car now that had the kind of personality of how you would like to see yourself in your soon to be new life. What kind of car would it be? What springs to mind?
My dream car is always the same car, which is sort of a fancy, really fast sports car called a Spyker LaViolette. So maybe that one.
Okay, the Spyker LaViolette. And what's its personality?
Really just fast, gorgeous, very impractical, but very beautiful car.
Okay. That sounds perfect to me. So you're going to be fast, but this time fast with a sense of a goal, whereas in the old Cadillac version, you were fast but missing all the turns, remember, with no sense of a goal. So you can mm-hmm. be fast but with a goal. Gorgeous, yep, that's the beauty shot. You definitely allowed that. And what was that last thing? Because that was the most important thing of all. What did you say there? Totally impractical.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that is good, because let's just go back and revisit that. Totally impractical is your take on it. And it's your take as you used to see it. And, you know, you've been brought up in a life where people have said, now let's be practical, Jeremy. Let's put some roads here. Let's put some lines here. This is the way things are. Let's do a degree in IT. Let's do practical. And all this dream is about, well, let's forget practical.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's actually good that this car that you envision is impractical, because it's like we're getting the other half of you right now.
Okay. Great, right.
So let's start the vision with you actually driving your dream car, which is actually not a dream car anymore. It's actually yours in the visualization. And you feel really, really good as you're driving the car. Now, it's really important to summon up the emotions when you do a visualization, because the emotions that make it work. So you're mm-hmm. in the driver's seat of the car, and you know that this car is impractical, gorgeous, all these things give you a really good buzz. It's also very, very fast, and it makes all the right turns, because you have an absolute goal in your mind. And that goal is on the dashboard, because there on the dashboard are either one or three, depending on how you feel, of those photo frames. And yes, there's the goofy Jeremy on the left-hand side, but look at this absolutely gorgeous beauty shot version of Jeremy, age 30 and 1 month, on the other side. And I'm sure you can summon up a picture of, you know, your best shot on that side. And as you're driving this car and you're visualizing yourself driving the car and you're tuned into all the good feelings about how you want your life to be, you're also looking at yourself in that photo, not in any vain way, but in a sense of, yes, look, there I am. I've got it right. That's the real Jeremy. That's the authentic Jeremy. That's the Jeremy that is impractical. That's the Jeremy that's got a vision. That's the Jeremy that's got a goal. And when you go back and listen to this podcast, you'll get firmer on what that goal is. That's the Jeremy that is totally well balanced. That's the Jeremy that's in alignment with where he's meant to be. That's the beautiful side. That's the beauty in myself that's been waiting to blossom all this time.
That's wonderful. Is there, when I'm driving the car, do I, what should I think of going or driving through or seeing outside of the car?
Okay, most of your vision is on the picture of yourself there.
Right, okay.
But, did you have a good feeling about the park otherwise in the dream?
Yeah, I did, actually, yeah.
So what about parkland? Not the same park as in the dream, but parkland. Anything that's good and natural and alive and flowing out of the windows. So I'd say greenery.
Okay.
And if between, you know, this podcast and you're hearing it this Friday, or if you start the visualization now, if you can think of some other symbol that really represents your new goal, have that outside, out the car window ahead of you as well.
Okay.
And if you need any more help with this, obviously after the podcasting, just email me and we'll fine tune it.
Okay, thank you. Okay,
so do that for the first couple of weeks, 30 times a day.
Okay.
And then after that, twice a day. Now, sometimes people say, oh, look, you know, I set off well and then I quite find it quite difficult to do the visualization. If that does happen to you, get something like a poster board and put pictures of your car, you know, everything that we've just described as a kind of vision board and have it in front of you. And then on the bottom of the board, write in words the emotions that you want to have connected with that. Another thing will be to record yourself the part of this podcast where I've just talked you through the visualization and replay it, because it would be hard to grab this segment in the podcast, replay it to yourself. So you're actually listening to the visualization as you take yourself through it.
Okay, that sounds great.
But a lot of the alchemy you did yourself there, as you said, when you listened to how you responded to my question somewhere back and you actually defined what you want to do.
Yeah, so I have the destination sort of in mind, I think.
Now, I normally just wrap it there because, you know, we've explored your dream and done some fantastic stuff. But I know just before we came on air, you said, oh, if there's time, you'd love to ask a question. So would you like to ask that question? I don't know what it is.
Thank you. So not really knowing a lot about dream interpretation, something sort of funny happened last week where a friend of mine who knew I was coming on the show was saying, well, you know what, this is very weird, but I had a dream about your mother, my mother, and I met her in one of my dreams, and I have this really clear vision of what she looks like. Can I see a picture of her? And I showed her a picture of my mother, and she said, that's really crazy because that looks exactly like the person that I dreamt in my dream, who was your mom. If you put me and my mom side by side, you'd definitely see that we were related and mother and son. But the whole thing just seemed sort of surprising to me. And I was wondering if there's any kind of explanation of maybe why something like that could happen.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. Because, of course, I was going to ask you that. Well, you know, how similar do you look? And if you add, you know, if you add 20 or 30 years and add the female side, would she have had a grab of, you know, of what you would be like to look at? So that's one possibility. Sometimes we do tune in at a much a deeper and surprising level, and it is possible that she did that. So I'm definitely not discounting that. However, another thing that our unconscious minds do is it's almost like the dream is a feeling, and then the unconscious mind paints a picture of that feeling. So she, for whatever reason, needed to dream a feeling of, oh, the kind of person that would be like Jeremy's mother. So I don't know if you'd said anything to her about your mother, whether she was pre-programmed with that, but let's say that you didn't. She would be thinking, oh, you like a mother as a kind of person who nurtures. Maybe. I'm making this up as I go along. Mm-hmm. Maybe she thought that. And so in her dream, she may have been wanting, well, I there's a part of myself that would be nurturing towards a kind of, you know, the bits about her that are like you. You know, she may look at you and think, oh, there's a bit of me that's like Jeremy, or I wish I could be a bit more like Jeremy, if only that was nurtured more within me. Oh, I know, let's bring Jeremy's mum into the picture, because that would be like, oh yeah, there is a part of me that could nurture this aspect of Jeremy, and I could be more like that, something like that, you know, because everyone in a dream reflects an aspect of the dreamer. So for her, your mum reflected an aspect of herself. So I'd have to talk to her to sort of fine-tune what that was, but my guess would be that she was thinking, oh, yeah, look, I've got this feeling like I would like to be more like Jeremy, or be like more like Jeremy could be if only he got more nurturing, you know?
Right.
That's like Jeremy's mum. And then then that's the feeling that she was dreaming, and then her unconscious mind would go, oh, quick, let's put a picture on that. What would Jeremy's mum look like? Quick, a bit like Jeremy, add 20, 30 years, and yep, that'll do. And then when she looked at the photo that you showed her, she may have thought, that's the kind of feeling, you know?
Right.
That kind of fits the picture in my mind of the energy. But by the same token, she may have at some stage seen a picture and forgotten it, you know, in your house or...
Right, right.
And she may just have tuned in because, hey, sometimes we do that.
Yeah, and I think now that you talk me through it, it seems very likely that if you aged me 30 years and put a wig on me, I might look very much like my mother in a way.
And is that like having the beauty shot, Jeremy? But no, that's fantastic. And do encourage your friends or anybody else to put their hands up and come on the show because, there's room here and it's been a pleasure having you on the show and sharing your dream, which I'm sure has helped a lot of people reset their goals and have a really good think about and evaluate where they're going. I hope you enjoyed it.
I absolutely did. Thank you so much for talking with me.
It's been a pleasure. Well, thank you for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. Every Friday, well, here in Australia, every Friday, probably if you don't live in Australia, it's every Thursday for you. What a wonderful world. If you'd like to be on the show, please email me and we can set that up. Or you can contact me for confidential one-on-one interpretations, either by phone, by Skype, or by email. And of course, there's lots of free resources and free information on my sites as well. So go to www.dream.net.au or go to my blog, where I blog probably two or three times a week at www.janetheresa.com, where, of course, you can leave comments or be more interactive than that and go to my Facebook fan page, which you will be able to find very easily. So, that's it. That's a wrap. Till next Friday, have a great week. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to The Dream Show at lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/DreamSight. The Dream Show is a production of DreamSight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.